so used to Dr. Pepper. It's like watered down water.
Watered down water.
That's how I describe it.
Yeah. It's so funny to watch baby Augie, my grandson. He wants it, but he'll get a straw of it, and he'll suck it up, and he'll go. He makes this terrible face. But they call it preachy water. And so they think that anything in a green bottle is preachy water. And then they were in some restaurant, and somebody was drinking a Dos Equis, or I don't know, what do you call it, or something, or a Heidegger's, I don't know, some of them with a blue, they go, oh, preachy water. Like, no, don't say that. That's not preachy water.
Welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, your resource for exploring the world of disciple making and leadership within the church. Discover Jesus's strategy for raising up leaders, growing the church, and multiplying a movement. Let's jump into today's episode and explore the power of a disciple making leader.
Welcome again to another episode of the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. I'm your host today, Ben Borgman, the Executive Director of Disciple First. Disciple First is an organization that is all about empowering you as a church leader to make and multiply disciples like Jesus. And we're excited. This is part two of a previous episode on the Cross Creek Residency. So if you haven't listened to part one, go back, listen to part one. Just wherever you're listening to this, go back and listen to the previous episode, and then that way you won't miss out on that. And then we're going to pick up where we left off talking about the Cross Creek Residency. And today we've got a couple of just really exciting guests, and just happy to have them on. We've got Pastor Craig Etheridge.
Hey.
Familiar woo-woo. Voice on the podcast down there.
That's right.
Pastor Craig's kind of down today, so everybody pray for Craig because he doesn't have his Topo Chico. There was a recall on Topo Chico that had bacteria in it or something. So,
oh my gosh.
I just didn't bring him in. There really was a recall, but I think they're past that now. But
that's right.
And he's not wearing a hat today. So
I'm all out of sorts, Ben. I'm so needy.
Yeah, we're just
he's discombobulated.
Keeping him sharp.
Now you've put me in a different chair around the table. I don't know where I am.
We're just trying to keep you sharp,
Craig. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate
you sharp. But even more exciting than Craig, I don't know if we could handle that, but we're going to try.
We
have two Cross Creek, one previous Cross Creek resident and one current about to be previous Cross Creek resident.
Yeah.
So number one, Miss Kaylee Farnan.
Hi, I'm really glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me. It's my first ever podcast,
there we
you guys.
Go.
How cool
really,
is that?
It's so cool.
It's fun. It's not intimidating. It's no reason to be nervous.
We're just having a conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. See, you're already just acting like a pro.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So it's great to have you on today, Kaylee. And then we got Tommy Adams.
Hey, I don't know that we're more excited than Pastor Craig, but we'll do what we can.
We're more excited about Pastor Craig and a Topo Chico.
That's right. That's exciting.
So yeah, like I said, we really talked in the first part of this to Gary Chevalier, who runs the Cross Creek Residency here, and you guys were actually a part of it. So now we kind of talked about what that is and what it's like, how it learns, but we really want to know just, you know, really what's the value of somebody that from a, you know, really just your point of view of actually walking through that. And again, I think it'll be really good perspective having somebody that's fresh. Like this is, I mean, you guys you're right in the middle of it, Kaylee. Mm-hmm. You're about to complete your residency term. And then Tommy has been out for about a year in his role at the church for about a year. So I think, you know, I'm looking forward to kind of hearing your perspective and really telling all of Gary's, you know, dirty secrets.
Yeah, he's not here, so I mean. Yeah,
well, I can tell you this. He still doesn't know what skibbity means, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, I don't either, to be honest with you.
That's okay. Does anyone really know?
I know. Something about Ohio. That's all I know.
Skibbity Riz, Ohio,
see?
Craig.
See? I know the words. What they mean, I have no idea.
I mean, that's half the battle.
Yeah, we all know now what department Kaylee's working in.
In ministry, baby.
So Kaylee, tell us a little bit about who you are, just yourself, kind of your spiritual journey. Tell us a little bit about it so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. But then also, how did you kind of get into this weird wild world of ministry?
Yeah, so I love saying this, but I actually grew up here at Cross Creek Church when it was First Baptist Church of Colleyville. Craig's been my pastor since I was a toddler. Well, I gave my life to Christ in third grade, had some trouble with anxiety, and it was a comfort knowing that when I die, I'd be able to live the rest of my life with Jesus. And so, you know, went to church, was kind of playing church for a while until I graduated high school, and I realized I was kind of abusing God's grace. My 12th grade English teacher kind of asked me the same question that Jesus asked Peter, and she asked me three times, do you love God? First time, I said yes. Second time, I got defensive. And third time, I really couldn't answer. I wasn't taking my faith seriously, and I didn't really know what it, what having a relationship with Jesus looked like truly. And so bought a Bible when I got home, a new one that wasn't, you know, dusty and sitting in the corner. Was on fire for the Lord, and a friend of mine discipled me through the Grow series, started volunteering in student ministry in 2021, and then 2023, going into 2024, I started interning with the student ministry. I was volunteering for about 3 years and had dropped out of school, got my associates, and, you know, everything that I kind of wanted to do, I just kind of lost passion for.
Yeah.
But I loved going to Connect Group on Sunday morning. You know, one of the reasons I wanted to be an English teacher, not English teacher, a math teacher for middle school. And I wanted to do that because I loved the aha moments of like students being like, oh my gosh, I get it. Thank you so much. Like, that's awesome. I just love helping people. And so, you know, being able to share my faith on a Sunday morning with the eighth grade girls and then ninth and 10th grade girls, and getting to see that aha moment, but it's them realizing how much Jesus loves them. I just fell in love with that. And so started interning. And then in January of 2024, I went to something called Co-Mission. And God just really solidified that he wanted me to go into ministry full time. I fought him on it. I had a lot of people, you know, asking me, what about ministry? What if God, that's what God's calling you to? And I was like, no, not me. I could never. And so, you know, he pulled me in kicking and screaming, but, it's been such a blessing in my life. And I ended up applying for the residency at the end of the year, and here we are.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's a little bit about me.
That's awesome. Awesome. Tommy, how about you?
Yeah, mine is pretty similar to Kaylee's, actually. I didn't really start taking my faith seriously until high school. You know, I had some friends around me who were asking some questions about, you know, why did I believe what I believed? And I really couldn't answer that. I was just like, well, that's just what I've always been taught, so that has to be the right thing. And that kind of sent me on a journey to kind of start reading the Bible on my own and figuring out what do I believe? And not only what do I believe, but why do I believe that? Mm. And then as I started taking my faith more seriously, God started getting a hold of my heart, and he finally told me, hey, you're going to go and you're going to be a pastor. Mm. And when he first told me that, I was like, no, that wasn't God. That was me. I made it up.
You're talking to the wrong guy, right?
Yeah. You got somebody else. Because, I mean, even now I struggle with public speaking and reading and all that kind of stuff, and it's just not my strong suit. So I never thought that I would ever be in a position as a pastor or even in ministry in general. I always thought I was going to be an engineer, just like my dad is. And, you know, I love math, and there's not a whole lot of math in most ministry positions. So, that was right before my senior year in high school, and me and my mom had started looking at universities and all that, and then I had to go back to her and be like, so all that work that we just did, it was for nothing. God told me I have to be in ministry. So then that whole process kind of restarted, and I had to figure out, where am I going to go to school? What am I going to go to school for? Mm-hmm. So I actually got a bachelor's in finance, which is not ministry, but kind of all of the people that I talked to kind of advised me to get something in undergrad that was not ministry, because I knew I was going to go for a master's of divinity. Yeah. That way, if I have to be bivocational, if I'm between jobs or whatever, then I have something else that I can use. And I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I picked a business degree because churches aren't exactly like businesses, but, you know, there's some practices that you can take from one to the other. And then finance is just something that has always intrigued me. So I was like, well, those 4 years won't suck too much.
Absolutely. Well, I'm really glad that you do have that, because you have a real administrative gift and background, which is incredibly needed, you know, in the local church for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's kind of dive in. What we really want to kind of glean from this is, you know, what was the residency like? So, Tommy, what was your experience in the residency?
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing but good to say about the residency.
Same here.
You know, I was one of the guinea pigs, one of the first round. Yeah. Kind of came out of nowhere. I was actually at the church for a couple years before the residency came down the pipe. And then when they announced it, I was like, oh, that sounds pretty good. Because at the time, and even now, I'm still at seminary. So I was like, okay, well, let me contact Gary. So we got coffee a couple times, kind of talked through what is this going to look like? Because he was still trying to figure that out too, because it was still in the early stages. And then, you know, the application window finally opened up and I applied and, you know, I got to get to know Cameron, who's my coach. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's been nothing but good. He's taught me so much. I've had a lot of opportunities to learn things, especially, you know, what is the day-to-day life look like in ministry? Yeah. And, you know, as a church member, I had no idea what pastors do throughout the week. I knew there was more than just Sunday morning, right? But I didn't know what exactly they were doing throughout the week.
Yeah.
So getting to see what exactly that process looks like on the back end is extremely helpful and has set me up to be where I am today.
Yeah, that's great. Kaylee, how about you?
Well, as I said, I was doing an internship with Darren and Nick. So I was learning a lot through them and how to write a sermon, how to you know, how to disciple others, how to do those things. And we just kind of agreed moving forward, I could benefit with you know, gaining a little bit more confidence in the ministry. You know, one of the things God's been teaching me this year is to be rootly and firmly established by His grace. And so just being able to be invested in for an extra year was something that we thought would be beneficial to my success in ministry and just for the success of the ministry in general. You need strong leaders for it. And so it's been a really wild ride. We went through the Grow series together, guys and girls separate. And then I have a whole binder about this big full of all of my notes from the books we've read, from the conversations we've had with staff. One of the things I really love about from our colloquium time is that we not only are invested in by our coaches and by just the church, but we have the staff come in regularly to teach us like how to finance and how to budget for your ministry, how to practice gratitude. I loved that one from Derek Skelton, great guy, and a bunch of other things, yeah. But it's been great.
Craig, you get the opportunity to kind of work with and teach and help coach,
yeah.
You know, with the residents. What have you seen, maybe specifically with Tommy and Kaylee, what have you seen God doing? How have you seen God grow them in this time?
Residency. I think it's like drinking out of a fire hose at some degree, isn't it? Because we go through these different modules in the training. And so it's not just we're in one for a long period of time. I mean, it's very condensed. Each module is very intense and condensed together. And so there's a lot of content being shared, but it's also very interactive. It's not like you're just sitting in a classroom, you know, listening to someone lecture. It's around the table. It's very interactive together, and it's always very practical. And so I think that for you to say, I got a binder this big, you know, that really is a lot of content, which I think just is, hopefully that will service you well mm-hmm. in the future. And that we're not just sitting around kicking the can around, you know, we're not just sitting around just talking. We're actually mm-hmm. trying to give you things that we think will really help you grow in your area of ministry. So it's fun being on the teaching side. Because it's, you know, it's very interactive, and I'll just pull up my laptop and throw up stuff on there, and we'll talk through things from how to goal set to how to make a disciple, or what did Jesus do? We'll dive into the scripture of what Jesus did, or we'll talk about how to cast vision and all these types of elements that are a part of any ministry that you're going to do.
Yeah.
And so it's been great. It's been a lot of fun for me. I was going to ask them, and I was going to ask you what were some of your favorite topics that were covered, but I didn't want you to feel the pressure to only say the ones that I taught, even though you're free to say that if you'd like, you know, that's totally fine. But, you know, I'm just curious, what were some of the topics that were covered that you liked or that you didn't expect? You thought, oh, that was really helpful. Or
mm-hmm. Well, we actually kind of talked about all the books that we read. I can't even think off the top of my head all of them.
Right.
But one of our favorites was The Way of the Shepherd. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the author right now, yeah. But link it in the in the YouTube video. But we talked about how, you know, when you're leading, it's kind of like leading a flock, kind of how Jesus is our shepherd. And so when we're leading others, whether it's students or adults, you know, one of the things that our or my friend taught me when she was discipling me was people aren't going to care what you know unless they know how much you care. And so it's all about taking care and being a servant leader for your flock, really attending to their needs, making sure that you do cast a vision so they're not, you know, confused about where they're going, or checking in on them like regularly, how they're doing spiritually, how they're doing mentally, just how they're doing. You know, we lead a lot of people and we do a lot of things. But one of the things that even in our staff we're working on is just how to honor each other and how to really care for the people we work with. And so that book really honed in on that idea, and a lot of practical ways that shepherds do care for sheep and how that correlates with how Jesus takes care of us and how we should take care of others. So yeah, it was a really cool, really cool
book. Good. Tommy?
Yeah, mine's very similar. Like everything that we talked about on the topic of leadership is super helpful, like casting vision, like you were just talking about, caring for their hearts, which is like spiritual, all that kind of stuff. And then even just like super practical stuff of, you know, how do you lead volunteers? You know, Gary knows a lot about volunteers. You know, he studied that for a lot of his doctorate. So just seeing, you know, what is important to a volunteer and how do you give the things that they need to them so that they feel valued and they feel like they're making an impact where they are. And then also, I love your preaching playbook.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's super practical. And, you know, I've had to do probably six or so sermons for the young adults. And every time I have to make a sermon, I pull that out and I use it and I go step by step and it works great. And yeah, it's just super practical. And all of the things that we've talked about, we got experience in pretty much directly after that. And it's been super, super helpful.
Yeah, it's really good to be able to study something, you know, in the room around the table and then turn around and activate it. Go put it into action.
Yeah.
I think that's that's one of the blessings of this residency, right? Is the combination of action and learning together, which you don't always have, like if you're taking a seminary class, and I'm all for seminary class. We promote that and encourage our residents to go through seminary. But you don't often get to put it right into action. And so, and in the context of a local body, you know, I did preaching lab, you know, when I was in seminary, but we actually have to preach, you know, and teach a lesson in senior adults, which my mom loves you. I've told you that before. Who taught your class? It was Tommy. I was like, okay, she's got a crush on Tommy. She's 87. She loves you.
They're fun class.
But then, you know, you turn around young adults, you know, you're teaching young adults. And so you're running or you know, high school kids and middle school kids. So you really are infused into the body, which is what you would do if you're on staff somewhere. So I think that's a helpful environment for growing.
Yeah, and the great part is a lot of the times we would have a lesson that week, and you know how God works. It correlates exactly with what you need that day. But sometimes it would be exactly what a student needs that day. I'd have a conversation with a student, and I'm like, well, guess what we just talked about in colloquium this morning? One of those things just being, you know, having rest as a discipline in your spiritual life. And so, you know, we have high schoolers and middle schoolers who are staying up till 1, 2 a.m., you know, working on homework. And I get to tell them, hey, the Sabbath needs to be holy. You need to keep it because rest is important. You can't be the best version of yourself if you're tired and groggy all the time. And so just talking about that with them and the importance of that. So
that's really good. So Kaylee, as we kind of we'll bringing this to an end. So you're about done with your residency.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your role going to be? What is your official role moving forward?
I'm actually joining at the end of the month, July 1st.
Yeah.
I'll be joining the student ministry team as an associate.
There you go.
Yeah, really excited.
Excited. I'm sure everybody's excited to keep you here at your home. at your home, right?
I'm very excited and happy about that too.
So what are you, what's your role as an associate? Where are you going to be with, like, in a certain age group? What does that look like?
It's middle school and high school. The great thing about the residency is I'm doing the job that I will be doing. Yeah. The only difference really is that I will have my own card to be able to take students out to lunch or coffee or pay for things that we have for events coming up, summer camp, things like that. But
that's great. You kind of have the confidence, like, okay, it's not like this big lurch in your life of going from resident to right into it. You've kind of almost been practicing that role.
Exactly.
So that's great. Just kind of a seamless deal. So I know the staff here is excited to have you on full time.
I'm really excited for it.
You're going to do a great job.
Thank you.
So, Tommy, so you've actually been in your role for a whole year. So you were in residency for a year, then you've been in your role for a year. So looking back, how do you feel like the residency prepared you? Do you feel like, man, were you blindsided by anything? Did anything like, oh, I wish I would have known that? Or was it, did it seem to kind of prepare you for your role?
No, it was actually a very smooth transition. You know, I went from the adult ministry resident to adult ministry associate, very similar to what Kaylee's about to do. Mm-hmm. And the job from in the residency to the job as an associate is very similar. Obviously, you have more things that you take on in an associate role, but the transition itself was very smooth, and it was just kind of like, if you imagine like a ramp, and at the start of the residency, you know, you don't have a lot of stuff that you have experience in, but that grows and grows and grows, and then, you know, the ramp just continues when you step into my next role. And, you know, being a resident, it's not like being an intern or something. You know, I really felt like I was a staff member as a resident. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, moving into an associate role after that, it was just like the next step. You know, it's just taking on more responsibility. You know, I took on some of our assimilation pieces and all that kind of stuff. But it was a super smooth transition, and I feel like the residency prepared me perfectly, to be frank.
You know, Tommy just said something that I think is worth repeating, that we treat the residents just like our staff. We don't treat them any differently than our staff. So we have all staff once a week, where we all worship together, we pray together, we do our staff breakfast, we do any of our staff trainings or whatever, everybody's in there together. And so I think that makes it that transition easy. When you stay on staff, well, it's just like you're just continuing to do, you've been treated that way from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So it gives them a chance to get to know what it feels like to be on a staff team, you know, and that's the good and the bad, right? I mean, there's challenges, there's conflicts, there's issues that we have to deal with. And we've been quite open with all those things with our residents. Hey, here are the things that we're challenged with, and here are things we need to get better at. We just did an engagement survey, and we're kind of wrestling through things that we are doing good, but things that we really need to improve on. And our residents are a part of that, those discussions. And I think that helps them to, number one, feel valued.
Yeah.
We really want you here, and to see up close what it really looks like, and how what leadership looks like out of the book. You know, just not reading about it in a book, but okay, when you're actually in situations, how do you navigate those together? And I think that's really where learning comes into play. Yeah. Tommy also failed to mention the best thing he got out of the residency.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Come on, Tommy.
Yeah, I also met my wife.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That's a big one. Kind of a
the
big one.
The best thing he got out of the residency. That's right.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah. She was one of the other residents, actually, funnily enough. And if you don't know this, there's a no dating policy as resident. You can't date other residents.
Okay.
So we couldn't date until after the residency, but then after we did, after we completed the residency, we started dating, and we got engaged not too long after that because we had already spent so much time getting to know each other.
So that's a great selling point for anybody that wants to join the residency.
Yeah.
Matchmaker. Gary the matchmaker. We'll have to put that on his resume too.
That's right.
So that's great that you guys formed that bond and connection, and then there you go.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for being on here today.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
a delight just to kind of hear what God's doing in your life. And again, you know, getting to know each of you and just your heart for God and what he's using you for here at the church. It's just really kind of a joy to watch and just excited to see what he's going to do in the future.
Yeah.
And so, Craig, thanks for chiming in and being on today. Always love your perspective.
You bet.
And again, the leadership you've provided to actually create space for this type of initiative from an organization leader. That's the type of things people need to press into and figure out, because there is value in that. And it's hard. It's hard work to create new initiatives like this, and it takes resources and time, but man, it's worth it.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you very much.
And so as you're listening, if you are a pastor, again, wanting to connect with the Cross Creek Residency, or somebody that wants to apply for the Cross Creek Residency, check the links in the show notes down there. We'll have that information there for you. So hopefully you can connect with us, or at disciplefirst.com. We're always here to help as well. So thank you again for listening. We'll talk together real soon.
Thank you for listening to the Disciple Making Leader podcast, brought to you by Disciple First. We hope today's episode has been both helpful and challenging in your journey to becoming a disciple making leader. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you hear the next episode. And if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, keep making Jesus the model for your life and ministry.